Good morning, everyone. Let's in our worship service today. We'll be singing out of Songs to Remember number 6, and they're in the seats there with you. And we'll be doing number 193, Mansion Over the Hilltop. Day and good to see everyone here. Got a beautiful day. Seemed like the Lord directed us to sing about heaven this morning. Is that okay with y'all? What a wonderful thought that we have. Here we go, number 3. Number 240. We've got some helpers coming now. Y'all hurry. We got all the Doremi folks. Hey, little guys, come on. Help us out. Come. Hurry. Number 240. Say it.
Yeah. job, guys.
Good morning to everybody. Good to see each and every one that's here today. We are thankful to see each and every one that has come out to our service today. Glad to have all of our visitors with us. Right quickly, I missed to mention this last week. This was left up here in the singing area other day. If this is yours, there it is. I'm going to lay it right there. You can come back and get it. It might be Brother Stewart's. I don't know. The pink flowers look... Have to pick on somebody, don't I? It's good to see everybody. Might be too. Might have been hers. I didn't think about that. At any rate, we have that up there. Somebody would like to claim it anyway. But we are glad to see each and every one here today. I hope you've had a good week. And I hope everybody's been blessed by the Lord in a great big way. We've been privileged to go to revival services some this week. Luke was helping up at Macon, and Hope was seeking the Lord up there. So I asked you to pray for her. They did have two saved. I always like to tell about when people get saved because it reminds us that God's still in the saving business. And even though we're not seeing people saved, we can see others that other churches are seeing people saved. That gives us hope is the way I look at it. And what I long to see is some of ours that are unsaved that comes in and out of this church house each and every Sunday, I want to see them get saved. I do. I want them to be saved. So every time I hear about somebody else being saved, I've got hope for somebody else. Because usually what I'll say, Lord, what about us? Can we see somebody? And if we all get our hearts and minds on seeing people saved, then maybe the Lord will convict those souls. That's what we need to be praying for, that their souls would be convicted enough that they would realize their sinful condition to the point where they could be saved. And that's what we need to be praying for. And so let's pray for those souls that are unsaved in our midst. But I want to add this to us. I mentioned this here a few weeks ago. Brother Luke preached here a while back in a revival service that we attended about. He talked about the circle being unbroken. And basically, he said, we have a circle that we consider our circle. And usually it's our family, our mother and father, us, maybe our brothers and sisters and our children is who we generally call our circle of family. But that's not where we're supposed to stop as children of God, is it? Where we're supposed to go is not only to our family members, but our neighbors that are about us. Even those people that we talk to at work, maybe just occasionally, but our friends, we're supposed to tell them about the Lord. All of these people are part of our circle, and we need to be talking to them about the Lord's coming and that they need to get saved. Because the vast majority of the people that we deal with today are not truly saved by the grace of God. They may call themselves a Christian, they may call themselves a church member, but just because they call themselves a Christian or a church member does not mean that they know what true salvation is. And we need to just tell them what we have in our hearts so that they can get what real salvation really sounds like. Because if you talk to a lot of people, when you tell them about your heartfelt salvation, well, I didn't experience that. I never heard of that before. You may be the only Bible, is what I say a lot of times. You may be the only Bible that's anybody ever reads, that some person may ever read. So I want to encourage the church to keep these things in mind. We want to go on with our service, and we appreciate each and every one. I'm thinking Brother Sam is going to be doing the children's church today, so we're going to turn it over to him at this time. No?
I didn't ask you today.
I'd like to get in trouble, didn't I?
Let's go. Y'all are going to teach me this morning. All right. Y'all are going to teach me. You ready? Here we go. Here we go. Right here. Eyes on me. You ready? True or false? Jonah built the ark.
False.
I got a false over here. That's right. Right. Jonah climbed the sycamore tree to see Jesus. Anybody? False. Who did climb the sycamore tree to see Jesus? Zacchaeus. Someone? Zacchaeus. Okay. All right. Jonah baptized Jesus. True or false? False. Who did baptize Jesus? Remember? John the Baptist. We got some smart cookies up here. What's normally associated with Jonah? Jonah and the whale. Right. He had one mission. He didn't want to do it. You know, when the Lord called me to preach, I was 18 years and 3 days old. I didn't want to do it. I tried to bargain with God. I told him he needed to go on down the road, and it was Paul Montgomery that he should have called to preach. I didn't want to do that. I didn't. And Jonah didn't want to go over there and preach to those people anyway. They were heathens. They didn't even socialize with them. He despised them. He didn't like them. And he didn't want to go. So he just went the other way, and he wound up in the belly of the whale. And you talk about changing his mind. You know, there's a thought for you, and that's what I wanted to impress upon you today. Look at me. The Lord can't make you do anything, but he can make you want to.
Amen.
You know, if there's something special in your life that you need to do, whether that's talk to your buddies, talk to your cousins, talk to your neighbors, preach, whatever it is, and you get that commandment, you get that impression, you need to follow on that. Don't do like I did, okay? I spent a long time, many years, you know, running from that responsibility. I missed a lot of blessings from that. I did. And I don't want you to miss out on like that. So please do as I say. Heed the Lord, okay? So don't run away from God, because you may not wind up in the belly of a whale like Jonah did, but you could get in a spot where you need some help, and there may be only one place you need to go to get it, and that would be God. So keep your plate clean in that regard. In other words, keep prayed up. Let's stay away from the bad and negative things in your life. Because I like what the preacher said a minute ago. As far as we know, Jonah probably preached more sermons, but we only have one recorded. You know, there may be one instance in your life where you get to witness to somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'm not laying that on you now, but hopefully we'll reinforce that sometime down the road. You know, and if I'm dead and gone, may there be somebody here encouraging you to do that.
Amen.
To follow God and his plan. I love you. Please stand up, and I will dismiss you. Thank you for your time. We're done.
Yay.
Thank you, Brother Sam. A good lesson today for us and for the kids, and we appreciate
for young kids
today. That special time that we have with them. We want to move right along with our service. Is there any prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? As I mentioned, we have a lost here at this church that are in and out of this church from time to time, and we need to be prayerful for them. And I hope that you take time in your prayers, whether it's today or tomorrow or sometime this week. Just remember them in your prayers. I don't do it every time, but a lot of the times I like to visualize each one of them. You know, everybody has their own special spot they like to sit in, right? And so I kind of go around the church and I visualize them, and I think about their souls. That's a suggestion to you. to remember these that are unsaved. And they may not be your family, but they are your church family, and I hope that you will be prayerful for them. We're thankful for each and every one being here today. Is there another prayer request? We had several during Sunday school. Lord, help. Remember this family. Somebody else. Yes. Let's remember this. Glad to have y'all back today. Glad to have y'all back with us today. As all the visitors, in case I haven't said, I want you to know I appreciate y'all coming to our services. Somebody else have a prayer request? Go ahead. Ooh. Lord help. Let's remember this. Somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many surgeries she's had in 3 years, but it'll be open heart surgery this time. So it's very serious, and she's always going to have problems.
Yes.
So, but just pray for this family.
Lord, let's do remember this family. Somebody else. Yes. Let's remember this also. Somebody else. Yeah. Remember Addie. I still remember her and my prayers about her soul. Somebody else. Yes, Brother Slick's having surgery. Miss Barbara fell and got a black eye out of it today, and so we need to remember both of them as this is coming up. Somebody else. Lord help. And let's remember this cousin, but do remember Sister Nettie. Of course, Mr. Bob passed away last week, so let's remember them, her in our prayers as she is now grieving. Somebody else? Yes. Yes. Yes, let's pray for that. Let's remember our country and our leadership. Bible tells us to do that. Do y'all know that? We're supposed to be praying for our leaders. Not just the president, but even our county officials. We're supposed to be praying for every one of them. So please remember that in your prayers. Somebody else. It's good to see each and every one with us today. Let's especially remember our lost ones, and I hope you'll remember me today. As I try to stand today, if Lord will that I preach, let's be about God's business in this service. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray today in this service, and we just hope and pray that you'll follow the Lord today. And so let's all be about God's business today. Brother Key, would you start our prayer, please?
Let's continue singing this morning. Let's turn to number 242 as we continue our thoughts on heaven this morning. It's going to get better. Better by and by. Number 242.
Thank you.
Going Home, number 232. Paul, I do know you're, many of you are, most everybody is. I want you just to rear back and knock up the top off of this thing on the words, praise God. Can you do it? I mean, I want you to let God know that you're here. Will you? Come on now on the... Good job. I had to repeat that one. Is that all right? All right. This one is for the sinners this morning as we finish our song service. Number 214. I want to tell you, sinner friend, if you're here, if you miss it, you've missed it all. You've missed it all. I've got glimpse. I've had glimpse of heaven. Have y'all? Just in your prayers, can you not just feel the Spirit of God? When Shirley was at her darkest hours, you know, sitting there in the hospital, late in the morning, nobody but me and the Lord. Let me tell you, you could feel the presence of God. Don't tell me it's not real. And I want you to know, sinner, if you miss all of that, you've missed it all. There's nothing at all down there that you need to go to. It's all up there with us. 214. Let's all stand on this, please.
I'm always thankful for Brother Key and Miss Shirley leading and playing, and we're glad to have them leading and playing today, and just appreciate everybody joining in with the singing today. And singing sounded really good this morning, and we appreciate everybody taking part with the singing. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further? Don't get quiet now. You've been singing. And so we appreciate each and every one being here today. We're again glad to have all of our visitors with us today. And we want you to make yourself right at home with us today and just worship the Lord today. Brother Key has been preaching about heaven today. Or singing about heaven, excuse me. Singing about heaven. And that is good for us. And I think it's good for us to be reminded about our heavenly home. And I just always, that's my favorite songs. I'll just say it that way. When you're talking about heaven, I like to hear about it. And I like to hear them sung about. I wished I had a sermon about heaven today. Me and the Lord done a little fighting, and as we learned in our Sunday school, you have to do what the Lord said or face the consequences. And so this message today is not about heaven, and I'll probably say it's not going to be a glory hallelujah sermon. I wished it was, but nevertheless, this is what the Lord has laid on me. I got the thought earlier in the week, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't of me, it was of God, that I would preach this message today. And so be prayerful that it will be what the Lord would have it to be today. If you want to read, where we're going to start at is Luke, the sixth chapter, excuse me, Luke, the sixth chapter. And this is basically the version of the Sermon on the Mount that Luke wrote. And we're just going to read one verse for a starting place for our message today, and then we'll give you our thought today after that. Verse 31, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." That's our reading lesson or our starting place for this message today. That's Luke 31. I didn't give you time to get there until I got done. Most of you, I don't know if they still do that in the schools today, but we used to have it posted over our bulletin board or over our chalkboard. I don't think they have chalkboards in schools today, but we used to have it posted. "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." It was called the Golden Rule. It is based on the Bible, however, it is not quoted in those words in the King James Version. This is as close as it gets. It's also in Matthew, the seventh chapter, in a similar way of this. But what Matthew put with it, this is the law and the prophets, is where it comes from. And you do not find this statement in the Old Testament, but it is in their teaching. "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Today, you might wonder where this message is going. I'm wondering the same thing, to be honest with you. I do want to go to verse 20 or chapter 28 of the book of Proverbs today for a second verse today. In my thought today, this is what basically is going to be the thought of the day. And I'm going to tell just a quick story as a reminder. How many of you at one time or another, you was caught in this position, either as the parent or as the kid? You heard something crash in another room. And you went in there and you saw your child and a mess, something turned over, something broken, and your phrase was to them, What did you do? That is a common statement of parents. I can remember myself being asked that question. I can remember asking my children that question. What did you do? I didn't ask them what they thought they did. I didn't ask them if they thought they'd done something wrong. I asked them, what did they do? Now, in this message today, we're going to talk about some different answers to this question. And basically, what did you do in that moment or in that time? Now, I know, and I kind of like sound like a broken record many times, but basically the basis of sin goes back to Adam and Eve. And that's where I'm going. Wait a minute, back up. Back up. I'm about to go too fast here. Go back to Proverbs 28 and verse 13. And it says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The Bible tells us in so many words. This statement is actually not in the Bible, but it is a good saying also that it says confession is good for the soul. When you were asked that question as a child, what did you do? Now, the excuses or the reasons that you gave for that question usually varied in different ways. If you had in mind you were going to cover it up some way or another, there is an answer that you gave to cover it up. Maybe you had an excuse why it happened. It just fell over. Maybe you had an excuse of other things. But we're going to talk about the sins today and the reasons or the excuses that many times when God asks us the question, what did you do, that we give? Now, like I said, this is not going to be a glory hallelujah sermon. As I said, I'm going, first of all, to the basis of sin. When Adam and Eve transgressed the law of God in the garden, you know the rule, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know that the serpent beguiled Eve, and the Bible says that she gave to her husband after that she had eaten, and he ate, and their eyes was open. After that, God called upon them in the cool of the day. Before, he had been walking with them daily, is what the scripture allows us to know. And as he was calling unto them, what the scripture said about them that day, that they hid themselves. They had already taken fig leaves and they had covered their nakedness, as the Bible says. We generally consider it as they took fig leaves and they covered their waist, maybe in Eve's case, around her chest, is what we generally tend to think that they did. But their nakedness was actually their sin. And they actually thought that they could take a few fig leaves. And if you've ever looked up what a fig leaf was, it's only about yay big. It's not going to cover up much. In other words, when we try to cover up our sin, what we use is not much. Now, I want you to take a look with me for just a few minutes today as we go back to Adam and Eve. When God is calling them out, first thing, they was afraid. Why was they afraid? They had transgressed God's law. The other thing they didn't like was the fact that they was naked before God. Their sin was evident in that time. And as it was in that way, they hid themselves also there in the garden. Finally, Adam answered God, and the statement that comes out from thee, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, here is God. What did you do? God said, who told thee that thou was naked? hast thou eaten of the tree? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? This is that question. What did you do? That is the question for us today whenever that we are caught in a sin. God saved our souls, but our flesh is still sinful. Occasionally, when that we do sin, I hope it's just occasionally that we sin. I'm not going there. But the fact of the matter is, God will come to us and he will say to us, what did you do? Now, what Adam did at that moment was this statement in verse 12. And he said, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. You know, something that I had never really noticed before was the statement that Adam made. He tried to put the blame on God. He did. He said, that woman that you gave me, she gave me, and I did eat. Now, I've heard people over the years say it was all the woman's fault that we live in sin today, but it wasn't the woman's fault, was it? It was the man's fault. He had the law. He had the knowledge of sin, and he knew what he was supposed to do. He did not have to take that fruit out of her hand and eat it himself. I've heard preachers try to say, oh, he loved her so much that he wanted to eat of it to be like her. No, that was not the case. He had already desired the fruit, just like Eve had done, and in his lust to want to be like God, like Satan had said, he decided himself to take the fruit and eat it himself. But he said, she gave it me, and I did eat. But God, it's your fault. It's that woman that you gave me. That is an excuse that we use often. God, why did you allow me to get in this circumstance? How many times do you hear somebody after that some catastrophic event, a hurricane, a tornado, maybe it's a shooting or something like that, a terrible crime, how many times do you hear somebody say, well, God allowed that to happen? Well, yes, he did allow it to happen, but the fact of the matter, he didn't do it. He just allowed it to happen so that it would wake us up to the fact that God is still God. So as we're looking at the excuses today, what excuse do we really have in these circumstances today? When that we are caught guilty in our sin, what is our excuse? Now remember our first verse that we read, and I'll use it in the term that we use in school. Do unto others as thou would have them do unto you. Now, in the book of Genesis, I want to move to chapter 29, if you want to turn over there and read. Let me give you the backstory to this. This is talking about Jacob, and after Jacob was a twin brother. He was the second born to Isaac. He was a twin, and his brother Esau had the birthright. When it got time for Isaac to give the blessing to the son that would get the greater blessing, Jacob and his mother, they kind of made up a pact, we'll say. I'll use it at that word. But they kind of could done some trickery, and they went before Isaac, whose eyes was bad, and they put animal skins on his arms to favor his brother Esau, and she fixed the meal that he wanted to have, and he would give the blessing. You see what what Jacob did? He was a trickster. He was one that had actually been caught in some lies. And in doing so, in doing this, he had the name Jacob, which meant trickster, taking a hold of the heel, even as he says. But after this, after he had gotten the blessing, Esau was so angry with his brother, he said, I'm going to kill him. So his mother sent Jacob back over to her homeland, and he said, my brother lives over there. You go over there and you live with them for a while till your brother is calmed down. You might know of a circumstance like this where brothers and sisters get so angry and have to stay apart for a while. Well, it happens even today. But Esau went over there, or rather, Jacob went over there, and one of the first ones he saw was his mother's brother's daughter, Rachel is who he saw. And then from first sight, he fell in love with her, and he wanted her to be his wife. And as he was working for Laban and living there, he made a deal with Laban. In those days, it was an arranged marriage, but they had to pay a dowry. Since he had nothing to pay, he worked 7 years for his bride, Rachel. Well, Rachel had another sister by the name of Leah. Leah was not as pretty as Rachel. We've seen that in times past. I figure my brother was a lot prettier than I was. But the fact of the matter was, she was not one to be desired. And nobody, during that 7 year period, I'm satisfied that Laban thought some man will come along and he'll take Leah, even though the deal is made for Rachel. 7 years passed, and Laban, he decides to do a little trickery too. What they did in those days for a wedding, the woman would be dressed in a veil. You couldn't see them. And the wedding was always at night, and they sent the young lady into the tent, and then the groom went in, and they spent the night together, and they were married. Well, when it got daylight, Jacob saw that it wasn't Rachel, the one he loved. Oh, what did he do? First thing he did, he went to his father-in-law, Laban, and he said, what did you do? What have you done to me? You done this to me. I worked 7 years for Rachel. Now, the question that I want to bring to your mind is, when that we live our lives, when it comes down to doing to others as others would have, as we would want them to do for us, and we kind of do the opposite. We do the ideal, I'll do unto them as I please, and then, or as they done me, I'll do this. Is that the godly way? I'm going to have to confess, the scripture said in Proverbs that it's good for us to confess our faults. I will confess there was times when somebody done something to me in my younger days, and you know what I did? The very same thing they did to me. You ever been guilty of that? Most people have. Most people have. When somebody done us wrong, we done them wrong right back. When they got mad at us, we got mad at them. When they done something that offended us, we tried our best to offend them. But that's not what the scripture said. You see, in Jacob's work here of life, him being the trickster or the one that had caused all of these problems between him and his brother, it came back to haunt him. And not only this time, he had to work another 7 years for Rachel to get the love of his life. And then after that 7 years was up, his father-in-law said, now, you we'll make a deal. You can have some of the stock if you take care of them. He'd been well blessed of them. And he thought that he was giving him a dirty deal, is what Laban did, but God blessed him in it. You see, we reap what we sow according to the scripture. So that if we are doing unto others as they do unto us, the scripture says for us to do unto them as we would have them do unto us. Is that not what the scripture is teaching us to do? We live in a day and age, and a buddy of mine that I worked with for years, it's a dog-eat-dog time, isn't it? Well, if I don't eat them up, they're going to eat me up. That's the idea. But God has instructed us to use what God has given us. You know what Jacob finally did after his 20 years of service to Laban? He said, it's time for me to go home. And Laban didn't want him to go. He wanted to confine him there more. So Jacob had to leave secretly. And when he left secretly, when it got time to get back to his brother Esau, you know what Jacob was? He was afraid. You know why he was afraid? Because he had done his brother wrong. Because that he had connived, I'll use that word. He had connived his way into getting the birthright, you might say. He had connived his way into getting the blessing that God wanted him to have, but God would have ensured that he got it if he'd have just waited on God. I believe God would have. We are guilty so many times of taking matters into our own hands. But what God intends for us to do is like Moses when he was at the Red Sea. What did the children of Israel want to do when they got up to the Red Sea? We got a mountain over here. We got the Egyptian army right here. We got a Red Sea in front of us. What are we going to do, Moses? You know what most of them want to do? They said, we'll bow down to the Egyptians. We'll bow down to sin. And we'll go back into bondage as they want. That's what we, the majority of the people, wanted to do that day. But what did God tell Moses to do? He said, tell them to stand still and see the salvation of God. They wanted to take it into their own hands. We'll run back to the Egyptians and ask mercy. They should have been asking mercy of God. They got mercy in that God opened up the Red Sea for them. He opened it up so that they could see. Now, let's go over to another story, and this is where I'm probably going to end at, Lord willing. In the 15th chapter of Judges, in our Sunday school lesson today, we had the story of Jonah. And Brother Stewart done a good job of going through the whole chapter in about 35 minutes time. I guess I didn't lose the clock, but he went through the entire book of Jonah in just a little while. Most of the time as he started out, what do we know about Jonah? Well, Jonah was sent by God to go preach to Nineveh. And when he didn't go, he ended up in a whale's belly for 3 days and three nights. And then the whales puked him out, and basically he went to Nineveh and he preached to them and they repented. There's a lot more to that story. The other children's story that we hear a lot about is Samson. How that Samson had the long hair and he was able and had strength of God in his body. And how that he fought, how that he was able to fight the Philistines in that day. Well, at this period in time, somewhere in the period before this, the scripture tells us that the children of Israel had had failed God, is the way I'm going to say it. They failed him. They sinned against God. What they actually did, they started worshiping idols is what they did. So God allowed the Philistines to come and overrun their area. They was under the bondage of the Philistines. And because of that, they couldn't get anything done. Everything, all the food they raised, the Philistines took it. They was allowing them to starve to death. Any cattle that they had, the Philistines took it. Anything they had good, the Philistines took it. And that's what sin is going to do to you today if you transgress what God has and desire for you to do. Well, God put a man in place. That was Samson, and he was called a Nazarite. He was not to allow his hair to be cut from even a child, and he had these long locks of hair. Now, I'm just going to bypass that and get on up to a certain point. When Samson was getting mighty, Samson was not a perfect man. He was like us. He was caught by lust. He was caught by the desires of humankind. Now, the Bible says that the children of Israel had a law that they were not to marry outside of the children of Israel. That was the law of God. The reason for it was that they would not go into idol worship, that they would not take on the idols of the people that they were about. So if you, in our case, what I would suggest to our young people, marry you a good Baptist person, one that is an old-fashioned Baptist. That's what the rule is. And a lot of people says, well, no, that boy over there is prettier. And yeah, he may go to this other denomination, but he's prettier, and I want to be him. That's the one I need. No. What you need is a good godly man or woman is what you need. When I was a young preacher, an old preacher talked to me one day, and his statement to me, he said, there's nothing no prettier than a good Baptist woman. And I found him to be true. Because the beauty is not just in the beholding of it, it's in the inward part. They may not be fully in God's will at the time, but they need to become what God wants them to be. Now, Samson saw a Philistine woman, and in his lust, he basically said this, Mama and Daddy, I've seen a woman. Go get her for me. That's the one I want to marry. Remember, they done arranged marriages. That's what started his trouble. So they said, no, you need to stay with our people. He said, no, I want this woman. Hard-headed. How many of us is hard-headed? How many of us get in our mind, we've got to have this? How many times have you heard of a young woman saying, I'll change that vile man. I don't care if he's a drunkard. I'll change him to where that he is a good, godly man. How many times does that work out right? That goes vice the other way too, young men. They did. They went and arranged the marriage with this Philistine woman. And when she pulled a trick on him, Samson got mad and he went out and he basically done some things. I'm going to shorten the story. But basically he went out for a while and he came back to his father-in-law's house and he said, where's my wife? And he said, I thought you hated her. You left and so you hated her. So I gave her to your companion is what it says. In other words, to your friend. Well, that made him angry again. He went out and he destroyed all their crops is what he did. He set them on fire. Well, the Philistines heard about this, so they went and murdered the young woman and her father because they had brought this upon them through Samson. Well, Samson, he wanted revenge again. Boy, y'all thought Samson was a good feller, didn't he? How many of us wants revenge? You know what they did? Samson, he said, because you killed my wanted, the woman I wanted, he went and he killed a bunch of them again. This time he went back over into Judah. He sat down on a big rock up on top of a mountain. And here come the Philistine army upon the people of Judah, the people of God. And they arrayed themselves in war. And the men of Judah went out to him and they said, why are you coming about war? Why, we haven't done anything. They said, we're going to bind Samson. We didn't do anything. They said, well, you better bring him to us bound. So they brought 3,000 men to the man Samson up there on that rock. And what was their first words to them? What did you do? Maybe not exact words, but basically, what did you do? This goes back to our first verse. I did to them what they did to me. Children of God, we're not to act as the heathen, the sinners, in other words, do. We are to love them regardless. And if they do us wrong, we are to love them. We are to forgive them according to the Scripture. We are to try to help them to understand. The Bible tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doing the speaking there, he said, if a brother has an ought against you, what he said is you are to leave your offering at the altar and you go to your brother and you reconcile. In other words, you ask forgiveness for what you have done. You may not even know what you've done, but you find out what they did, what they have an ought against you, the wrong that you may have done them, and you try to make it well. Now, that's not always possible. If they asked us to do something ungodly, we can't do that as children of God. Just to reconcile for no reason whatsoever is not what God wants us to do. No, that's kind of like if somebody is mad at us for us telling them about God's salvation, they get mad at us for that, we're not to retract or take it back. Oh, it's all right if you don't believe. That's all right. We're not, it'll be okay. Well, let's just be friends and go on. No, that's not what it's telling us to do. We are to tell them about Christ and Him crucified and about His saving grace. And if they'll just believe, they can be saved. Oh, I don't believe it that way. Well, you may not believe it that way, but that's what the Bible teaches you. If they will heed to the warning, they can be saved. But if they have aught against you, go to them. Now, the other side of that scripture is, if you have aught against your brother, you need to go to them. What did our first verse say? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Confess is what Solomon says. Confess your faults is basically what he was saying. Confess your faults one to another. I'm going to tell you something today. A lot of people put their preachers, their pastors, the preachers in this world up on a pedestal, and they're good people. They even think their children are the best that there ever was. Now, I wasn't a preacher's child, but I know a lot of people that were preacher's children, and they were not the best children in the world. They were not the most righteous of all children. We are to train up our children in the way that they should go. Now, what did you do? I'm going to give you one last thought. What you do here on this earth, and you've heard me make this statement before, what you do here on this earth, whether it's on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday, what you do every day of the week, your children will do. The people around you will also copy you. If they see you praying, they may not pray at first, but they will pray. If they see you cursing, eventually they will curse. If they see you doing things that are ungodly, they will do the same thing. And just remember, there is always our God that is going to say to us, what did you do? Brother Key, that's going to be my message today. Should have given you a little more warning. Think on that question. The next time something comes up about something that's past, ask yourself, what did I do? Because God is asking you, what did you do? He doesn't ask you that question to put you down. I want you to know that. He didn't ask Adam that question to make him feel bad. He wants you to see your sin. He wants you to see your wrong so that you can correct that wrong. When we were children and we misbehaved, whether it was in church or at home or at school, and our parents disciplined or our teachers disciplined, they did it for a reason, so we would not do it again. That was the reason for it. It was out of love. And know this, God is asking you that question out of love. I'm going to give you one more verse and I'll hush, Brother Keith. And I probably can't quote it exactly, but let me put it in this way. God will chastise you, and that means discipline you. And He only disciplines His children. And if He does not discipline you, now the word the Bible uses is a bastard. You're a bastard and not a son. Now, what that means is you're not his child. That's the only reason that he doesn't chastise you. So keep that in mind. When God is asking you the question, what did you do? He's doing it out of love for his child. That's our message today. While we stand and sing.
Number 256.